This is Healthcare Strategies.
This podcast was recorded remotely due to the coronavirus pandemic. As a result, the quality may be a little lower than our usual standards. We appreciate your patience as we practice social distancing. From all of us at Xtelligent Healthcare Media, stay healthy, stay safe, and enjoy the latest episode of Healthcare Strategies.
Hello, and welcome to Healthcare Strategies. My name is Eric Wicklund, and I'm the editor of mHealth Intelligence, one of the sites of the Xtelligent Healthcare Media Network. Today, I'm talking to Craig Settles. Saved from a stroke by telehealth, he's been paying it forward ever since by uniting community broadband teams and healthcare stakeholders through telehealth initiatives. He's been a community broadband analyst for 15 years and has done the same for telehealth over the last 3 years. Hello, Craig.
Hey, how are you?
Fine. How are you today?
Doing well. Cannot complain.
Let's start by talking about a unique telehealth program that you helped launch in Cleveland, one that brings connected health into local barbershops. How did you get that going?
The idea came from a TV show I was watching where the medical director decided that they could reach out to the African-American community, which is having a rough time with hypertension, and go to the barbershops because that's where a lot of folks go, like on a regular basis, and they're not as concerned about the fear or the issues of the healthcare process. And it's a long, cultural kind of thing. But basically, the barbershop in that show was the way in for a population that is not prone to go to the doctor for one reason or another. So I then got that idea and said, well, let's incorporate telehealth, because that wasn't part of the show, and let the barbers take the blood pressures of their customers in a setting that is comfortable for the customer, take that blood pressure, use telehealth to send the blood pressure readings to a healthcare provider, and then that provider can reach out to those who may have elevated hypertension, or there have been cases where a barbershop has recommended that the customer go to the ER right then and there because their blood pressure was dangerously high. What's new, I guess, is that having the barbershop and the barbers do the screening. So I set up this 10-city program in different parts of the country to pair barbershops or hair salons to different healthcare or types of healthcare providers, right? So in two cases, it's the county department of health that will partner with the barbershops. In Cleveland, they have a private hospital. We're now negotiating with a public hospital, and there's still the option to going back to having the barbers take the blood pressure, right? So, as way of background, in the Cleveland case, they've been doing the blood pressure screening for 12 years. And they started out where the barber was doing the testing, right? Mm-hmm. That becomes a problem because when they're doing the testing, they're not cutting hair and it cuts into their revenue, right? Mm-hmm. And yep. So went to Cleveland Clinic to provide some people who then will provide the screening. A barber can be trained how to do blood pressure reading. The issue that has to be dealt with, and part of the pilot program, is to figure out a way to pay the barbers so that they're compensated for their 10 minutes or 15 minutes that they have to prep the customer, take the blood pressure, record and all of that. And then this is why I'm raising money for the pilot program. The pilot has three phases, right? So the first one is just the straight up hypertension testing, get their blood pressures, get it to a healthcare provider, get the person into some sort of treatment arrangement. The second phase is then to explore what other types of health activity can be done from the barbershop. Right. So you know, you can't do like blood draws because that's kind of, well, it's a little tricky and it's more intensive. But there are other possibilities, other ways that are being tested in other barbershops in other cities to do some sort of screening for diabetes and so forth. Right. So the second phase is to look at what other ways can we use the barbershop to facilitate their customers getting better health care in some way, form, or fashion. The third part, and this is like the critical part, is to try to get the community itself into using telehealth, right? So the barbershop represents getting people comfortable with the idea, people who don't normally go see a doctor, be it because of insurance or whatever, right? But then how do we deal with the broadband? Because if you do not have broadband, if you do not have high-speed internet access, that's a problem, right? And so I think many of the telehealth vendors will talk about the fact that their individual requirement for broadband is relatively small, right? It doesn't require a lot of bandwidth. But the problem is, one, anywhere from 35 to 50% of either a rural or a urban area doesn't have broadband, or they don't have sufficient broadband. And the issue is also not just the speed, but also the capacity. If I have, 100 people getting on the network at the same time, because I've got kids in school and I've got I'm running business from my home and all of that, that's affecting the capacity, right? So now in low-income neighborhoods, whether talking about African-Americans or minority neighborhoods or rural areas, you have difficulty getting broadband. Sometimes you can't afford it. Sometimes there are data caps, which makes it problematic to do any extensive kind of healthcare session, because the data cap can be blown out pretty quickly if you add in different telehealth types of applications. So The third part is where I'm using my broadband expertise, because that's what I've been doing for 14 years, to figure out how I can get people in the area surrounding the barbershop to have some sort of broadband. Now, the goal with the fundraising effort is to establish anywhere from 50 to 100 households that will be given wireless broadband, because that's fastest and it is the most economical in the short term. Figure out, how we're going to pay for it, like long term. So the pilot really is looking at, if we bring in this technology, what are the issues that we have to address? The cost factor, the deployment factor. Once it's in place, once you have a group of people using that network, then we start talking about how is it being used for telehealth. And at the end of all this, maybe 4 or 5 months down the road, is when I write a summary of the whole exercise, and with a whole list of, ways that we can replicate the three phases across the country.
Can you talk about the role that broadband and broadband providers play in all of this?
There are incumbents like AT&T and Comcast and so forth. And if I look at how well or how poorly they have done at providing broadband, forgetting about the telehealth part, just straight up getting a broadband connection, that's why we have such low numbers of people not being able to get broadband, right? Mm-hmm. It's the cost factor. You have to worry about the profit margin and the shareholder responses and so forth. And so as a result, there are segments of the country that the incumbents do not consider worth their time, I mean, that's bluntly how it is, right? And so that's why we have this whole industry, if you will, called community broadband. Municipalities, public utilities, electric co-ops, or wireless or small ISPs fill the void and provide broadband connection. Those community networks have a mission, which is to use the broadband to for as many different benefits that they can offer their citizens. Mm-hmm. So when the issue of telehealth comes in, right, then the question is, what do I do as a community broadband network owner, right? How can I use or facilitate telehealth to my residents? Because if you were to look at it from a, you know, pure marketing perspective, right, if I am a vendor or if I'm a telehealth team, right, like a university has set up this telehealth team to reach out to, you know, underserved communities and so forth, right, those folks can partner or should partner with the community networks that are in the neighborhood that can provide and can benefit their residents with that telehealth. And it's not just the doctor visits, right? I mean, that's when the COVID thing went into full scale, you know, response. Everyone was talking about just being able to use telehealth as a way to avoid going into the doctor,
right?
And that's a valid use, right? But there are other aspects of telehealth that need to be looked at. When you define telehealth as using internet and intranet, so it's basically in a private network to deliver data regarding people's issues, injuries, ailments, chronic ailments, you look at then different ways in which the broadband can deliver some aspect of healthcare. So if I look at the situation where, you know, I had the stroke 5 years ago, I went to the stroke center near where I lived. The neurologist who ran the stroke center, she was home. It was a Saturday night, but because she had a telehealth connection to the stroke center and was able to see all of the data relating to, you know, my condition, they were able to do that and to start the treatment 25 minutes after I got to the ER, right? So that type of connectivity, you know, from her house to the hospital and so forth, that's just one avenue of telehealth, right? Now, since I had that stroke, there are a number of hospitals around the country where they're outfitting emergency response vehicles with portable CAT scanners, all kinds of other medical stuff, so that when they get to the person's house, they could connect with the doctor and begin, you know, the whole assessment part of it while they're still in the home. Well, the big thing is in a lot of rural areas, it may be 2 and 3 hours to get to the hospital. Mm-hmm. So using wireless technology, using fiber technology, and then having all of the necessary medical technology, I can facilitate that treatment either at the house or at the, you know, in route. Texas A&M, right? So they have a mental health program that provides services to 7 rural counties, and they have set up different partnerships, one with a school, one with a hospital, another with a clinic, so that they can provide telehealth to the home for those people that have good broadband connections. But there's also having all of those access points, it enables them to provide services to get people treated if they have a situation where they're very not safe at home, right? But the thing is, all of these approaches, you know, having telehealth in the school, having telehealth in the barbershop and so forth, it's using the broadband technology to extend the reach. And like I said, sometimes you can do it to the home, but because you don't have good broadband in a lot of places, you have to figure out alternative locations.
Right. And it's incumbent
to deal with that.
And it's incumbent upon the hospital and the health system to find a reliable network to do that.
Yes. Now, then some of it is a factor of, you can get broadband, infrastructure that's
yes.
built up from within the hospital. You can also, there are a number of hospitals where they have the main IT or the main website that's in the main hospital, but then they have a half a dozen or bigger number so that people in clinics, right? So they may be a main hospital connected, set up in Boston, for example, but there may be smaller hospitals that will be connected to the main hospital so
right.
that they can provide better care and access to specialists of the bigger hospital from that to them at a smaller hospital.
Right. Yeah. What are the resources available now to healthcare providers to improve their broadband capabilities? Where can they go to get support and perhaps funding to improve that network?
Well, there are several options, right? From a healthcare provider, part of it depends on what it is that you're trying to do. So the default option, I guess, is like a deal with AT&T or Time Warner, what have you, and that provides your internal IT infrastructure. To get to the home is dependent on, is there an incumbent that provides service, right? So coming to the Boston issue, for example, right? So, if you're a big hospital in Boston, right, you strike a deal with one of the big incumbents, that's fine. If you are working with one of the bigger incumbents, you know, they will have whatever number of people who are their subscribers, their home subscribers. But like I said, a lot of that is dependent where the dollars are, right? So the people who have good, jobs and good revenue and all that kind of stuff, they can have good broadband. As you go into low income areas, they're not going to necessarily get provided with broadband service. And that's where a city will create the broadband network. Now, the FCC added two different grant programs, and there's a movement in the Senate to create a third $2 billion
yes.
to facilitate telehealth. So those are big, probably the bigger federal agencies that are supporting broadband. But then there is the states, and they may have their own programs as well. That's pretty much since the COVID pandemic, everyone's scrambling for how they can fund telehealth.
There's been a lot put into broadband connectivity. You mentioned the FCC's COVID-19 telehealth program that was specifically for the COVID-19 crisis. There's the longer-term connected care pilot, which I believe is ongoing or starting soon, also established to improve broadband connectivity in rural areas. And now there's a movement to add at least $2 billion in funding through the next coronavirus relief bill, specifically for broadband connectivity. But say you're a small provider, a small clinic, hospital, or medical practice. What steps should a provider like that take to make sure they have the capacity to field a good telehealth program? And if not, what do you need to do to improve that capacity?
I would say the first order of business is to see what's the lay of the land in terms of what types of broadband projects are going on. So, for example, there are several hundred cities and towns and counties that are exploring broadband. You have to reach out and find them until they become fully engaged with the broadband planning. You may not know. So you need to call like the city manager, probably the best starting point, because just about every broadband project at some point is either going to go to the city manager's office or the IT department. And then you say, look, we're a small clinic. We can really affect healthcare if there's broadband. And so from the broadband team or the exploratory committee, they can say, okay, well, if we do this, if we want to build this network, then telehealth could be a part of it. It becomes another reason for, why citizens should do it. Now, once a city or a town makes a decision that they're going to do it and they want to do a needs assessment and so forth, then you definitely want to get into the process, because the needs assessment or the feasibility study, you always talk about who's doing what as far as feasibility. That's the time when healthcare providers need to get on there and jump on it with both feet. Mm-hmm. Because for the broadband provider, this becomes another revenue stream and justification for the network, right? And then for the clinic or the small hospital and so forth, then they won't have to worry about the availability of telehealth.
Is there any interest in forming partnerships? You'd mentioned earlier about getting schools involved or municipal organizations to share that broadband capacity.
Yes. Once we get past to the point of, are we going to have class in the fall in the traditional sense?
Yes.
But cities, towns are finding that they can take the standard, the school nurse, partner with a medical practice, and they can create a program for telehealth to deliver to the schools. Libraries, I think for the most part, libraries have not been induced to provide any kind of telehealth, but it's a logical option. They're centrally located in most places, so it makes a lot of sense to have that as an option. But I think a lot of the libraries haven't been approached.
So it's an untapped resource for healthcare providers.
Yeah. Part of it is looking at who has a facility, right? Because you need to have a place. Who can get broadband either delivered or, part of a broadband build out or what have you. You've got the, your medical folks, ready to go. I think that determining who your options are, I'm a big fan of the needs assessment process. I mean, that's what I've been doing, because it works well when we're talking about delivering technology, broadband technology, right? And so telehealth is just another variation of technology. And so you figure out who needs it, and then you figure out what are your, resources that can deliver the healthcare part of it, and then what are your other resources in a community.
A broadband strategy involves more than just telehealth. You mentioned the idea of a community broadband network or a platform in which you could include telehealth, but you also include other services as well, perhaps as a means of supporting that platform, making it financially sustainable. Could you talk more about that?
Right. What I say is, you're going to look at it from making the local government more efficient, making the businesses more competitive, and overall, improve the local economic health. There's education. And then the fourth one is healthcare. Another aspect of telehealth that probably isn't really, isn't obvious, is that imaging, like for CAT scans and x-rays and all of that, right? Normally, if you're in a rural area, you may have to go a couple hours to get to a facility, and this is really problematic, right? But with a good broadband, you can make a facility available, you know, using some facility right down the street from the school. That money for all of that testing then stays local, and it provides a convenience for the community.
Yeah.
The one thing I worry about is that people will get themselves into a box of their own creation where they say, this is what we're going to do with it, and that's all we're going to do with it. And that's all they think about, right? And then there are all these other options that can be used, either in terms of facilities, the different technologies. Now we're talking about artificial intelligence. Got to have a mindset and be open to that.
There's a lot to consider here, and I think to sum this all up, to establish a telehealth program and to create the broadband infrastructure for it, you've got to be flexible, you've got to be creative, and you've got to be willing to collaborate with different elements of the community.
Bingo. That exactly. The one thing I would mention is that I sort of see telehealth in two ways, right? There is the companies like American Well and so forth, where basically you have a host of doctors, and the person clicks down their credit card, and they get a consult, and they're on their way, right? But it would be better overall for the community if they, you know, if there was a way to bring telehealth expertise to the doctors, the local doctors, because again, it keeps the money home. You don't compete with the doctors, but you basically give them tools to grow and sustain their business. Because right now we have a crisis of not enough doctors, not enough hospitals, and it's often in the low income parts of the urban areas and the rural areas that suffer from all of this, right? So if you can create an ecosystem where you are training the doctors, the healthcare professionals, you allow them to grow. And if you're looking at it from the aspect of the local economy, you know, the local benefit, right? That's what incites people to build these broadband networks in the first place.
Right.
So if I can deliver that type of economic development by making the local healthcare system more robust, right, people are going to go for that.
Yeah, and that's a perfect way to wrap it up. Combining everything together, this intersection of telehealth and broadband, it involves a lot more than just healthcare. Craig, it's been fascinating to chat with you today about that intersection and about where telehealth needs broadband, broadband needs telehealth, and they both need a lot more out of the community. Thanks very much for joining us today for this podcast.
No problem.
So what are you doing to ensure that your telehealth program has the necessary broadband connectivity to flourish? And what should other providers be doing to either ensure or secure connectivity? Share this episode on Twitter, tag us at mhealthintel and me at Erowick, and tell us what you think. Thanks for listening.
This has been an Xtelligent Healthcare Media production.